Good morning. Hearty welcome to each one of you this morning. It is, again, a privilege to dwell with fellow believers and in the Church of God. For those of you that are looking on the ministerial list, Lloyd and I have switched. We're heading off to a wedding next weekend, so he will take my spot then. This morning I've entitled my sermon, Despite Circumstances. And when I think of the circumstances that we go through in life, I'm reminded of Paul, of the many circumstances and trials that he went through. This morning I'm going to focus on Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 26. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 26. It says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, all the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident of my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose, I wot not. For I am in strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again." Blessings on the Word of God. So when you think of the Apostle Paul, there was one desire that he had. And that desire was to preach the Word of God. It was on Paul's agenda, it was on his mind, and he was constantly thinking about it. And Paul even says in Acts 21 that after I have been in Jerusalem, I must also go and see Rome. In Romans 1, he says, "So as much as it is in me, I am ready or eager to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also." Rome was the hub of the great empire. Or you could say it was the key city of its day. And if Paul could conquer it for Christ, it would mean reaching many, many people with the message of salvation. And more than anything else, this was Paul's desire as a missionary. So as you look at your life, or think about your life for a moment, what do you long for? What is your desire? What is on your agenda? Well, what would you eagerly like to do? No, I'm sure there's many things that come to mind. For those who have lost loved ones, maybe wishing that they're with them here this morning. Maybe your children have all moved and they're not living around here, and you would love nothing more than to have them live closer to you. Or you as parents are praying for your children that they would accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Maybe you long to get married. Or you're waiting on God for where He wants you. But when you look at the desire that Paul had, do you have that same desire to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? So as you and I think about this, what thoughts come to your mind? How many of us would be afraid, or maybe we would ask ourselves, how do I go about this? But for Paul, he wanted to go to Rome. He wanted to go to Rome and preach the word. Instead, he went as a prisoner. And I'm sure Paul could have written a long letter about that experience alone, but he says, like it says in verse 12, the things which happened to me. And the things that happened to Paul, they started with the illegal arrest in the temple of Jerusalem. And the Jews thought that he had dishonored their temple by bringing in the Gentiles. And the Romans thought that he was an Egyptian betrayer. And Paul, he became that focal point. Or you could say that pivotal point of both political and religious plotting. And he remained a prisoner in Caesarea for a couple of years. And when he finally appealed to Caesar, he was sent to Rome. And Paul, he must have been so extremely excited because that's exactly what he wanted to do. He wanted to go to Rome. You know, most of us, if not all of us, when we're excited to go somewhere, usually we don't think about the things that could go wrong or the interruptions that we may face on the way. And yet when you look at Paul, he had many interruptions. And I'm sure he didn't expect all the delays that he had to go through either. And you can read some of those delays in Acts 27 and 28. And to read that en route, Paul, he was shipwrecked. And the account of that storm and Paul's courage and faith, you could say, was one of the most dramatic in the Word of God. After 3 months of waiting on the island of Malta, Paul finally headed to Rome. And I'm sure many of us would have been thinking, just get me home already. I'm tired of these delays and difficulties that keep coming my way. But Paul had a different thinking. Even though all these things were taking place in Paul's life, he had his mind focused on sharing the Word of God. Paul did not find his joy in the perfect circumstances or situations that he had to go through. But he found his joy in winning others to the Lord. Amazing. And if his circumstances allowed him to share the gospel, that was all that mattered to the Apostle Paul. And we know that Paul went through a lot of difficult situations in life, but it didn't seem to matter to him at all. Verse 12, it actually says furtherance, which means to continue. For Paul, he discovered that his circumstances really opened up many new areas for ministry. And I'm not sure how many of us would have seen things the way that Paul saw things. I think many of us would have been uneasy or unsure. And Paul, he mentions some of the negative things that were going on in his life. The unpleasant circumstances. The unpleasant people. Or unreasonable people. And his uncertain future. But Paul, he goes on to show that God was able to use those difficult things in a positive way. Now, we all have difficulties that we go through. And in the midst of the trials, we see that it's usually not a good thing. We're not enjoying it, and we're asking God, why am I going through this? It is only when we look back and then we see the purpose why God took us through those difficulties. And then we realize and we understand. We may also look around us and see that others are going through much more difficulties than what we are. And we realize that my difficulties aren't as bad as others. But when you look at what Paul went through, we see many different trials that he went through. How many times he had been shipwrecked. How many times beaten near unto death. How many times he had been arrested, chained up and imprisoned. And yet Paul says, I remember all these trials, and I see that they have all served to advance the gospel. Now, as Paul was going through the difficult trials in life, he saw opportunities to minister. He was focusing on spreading the word of God. Now, when you think of Paul and the situations that he went through, and if we were to go through those same difficulties, where would our focus have been? Would it have been like Paul's? Focus on sharing the word of God? Now, even though the places that God takes us may not be the places we think are best for us. In fact, that is how the gospel came to Philippi. Because earlier in Paul's mission, he tried to enter other territories. But God repeatedly had shut the door, according to Acts chapter 16. Paul wanted to take that message eastward toward Asia. But God had directed him westward toward Europe. Maybe there were times in your life where you had plans on what you wanted to do, but God had different plans for you. And in the midst of those times, you may have sensed frustration, maybe anger, bitterness or disappointment, maybe even confusion. But through obedience, we look back and we see why God took us down those paths. So when you look at Paul's situation, there were three tools that helped him take the gospel into the palace guard. And usually when you and I think of tools, we think of tools that can help us do a better job, to make things easier for ourselves. And usually we think of tools as a positive thing. And the tools, Paul's tools, were not like that according to how you and I would think. And Paul's three tools that he used were his chains, his critics, and his crisis. And the same God who used Moses' rod and David's sling use Paul's chains, which brings me to my first tool. Paul's chains. Little did the Romans realize that the chains that were on Paul's wrists and his legs would release him instead of bind him. In 2 Timothy 2:9, Paul, he wrote during a later imprisonment, "I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound." Paul, he did not complain about his chains. Instead, he devoted them to God, and he asked God to use them to share the gospel. And these chains, they gave Paul contact to those who may have never heard the word of God. So when you think about it, how Paul was chained to these Roman guards, even 24 hours a day, and if there were two men that were chained to Paul and they worked even an 8-hour shift, that would mean that Paul could witness to 6 men in a 24-hour cycle. And I'm sure it would have been difficult for Paul to sleep or get a good 8-hour rest being in these chains. But it makes you wonder if Paul even thought about that. Or was he constantly thinking about, how can I share the gospel despite my circumstances? But just imagine yourself being one of those soldiers or those guards, and you're chained to this man who, it says, he prayed without ceasing, who is constantly talking to these guards and they've been asking them about their spiritual lives. Not only that, but he's writing letters to the Christians and the churches throughout the empire. And one would think that it wouldn't take very long, and some of these guards, they would place their faith in Jesus Christ. And because of the chains, many of the brothers in Christ have been encouraged to speak the word of God with more courage and without fear. I'm not sure how many guards would have rotated being chained to Paul, but he would not have had the opportunity to witness to them had he not been chained to them. Had Paul been a free man, he would not have had that opportunity to share the gospel like he did. Those chains gave Paul contact with another group of people, and those were the officials of Caesar's court. And you have to remember, Paul is in Rome as a prisoner. And sometimes God, he puts chains on us people to get them to accomplish that could never have been accomplished any other way. You think of the woman, Fanny Crosby, who was blind at 6 weeks of age. And as a youngster, she was determined not to be confined to the chains of darkness. And in time, she became a mighty force for God through her hymns and gospel songs that she wrote and that we still sing here today. And at times, we will go through parts of our lives confined to chains. But we will need to look at those God-given opportunities for the furtherance of the gospel. What do we do with the opportunities that come our way? In verse 14, he says, "Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly." And Paul is saying, because of my hardships, because of the things that have happened to me, other believers have been encouraged. And they've seen how God has encouraged and protected me through difficult situations and given me strength beyond my own power. And many of the believers in Rome, they were encouraged when they saw Paul's faith and determination. And they were much bolder to speak the word without fear. And that did not only mean preaching the word, but it was an everyday conversation. And because of the joy that Paul had in his heart, the believers in Rome, they took fresh courage. And they witnessed boldly for Jesus. Now those believers in Rome, they must have been thinking too, if Paul can have all this joy while he's on these chains, there should be absolutely no excuse for us to have joy in our hearts. You know, our chains, whatever they may be, may not be as dramatic or as difficult, but there's no reason why God cannot use them in the same way. My second tool, Paul's critics. You know, it's hard to believe that anyone would oppose or resist or be in conflict with Paul because of all the trials that he was going through. One would think that most people would come alongside and they would help him or support him. But there were believers in Rome that were doing exactly that. They were not supporting Paul. Churches were divided, and some preached Christ sincerely, wanting people to be saved. Some preached Christ untruthfully, wanting to make a situation more difficult for the Apostle Paul. And they were preaching Christ out of envy and competition, but others out of goodwill. And what Paul is saying is this. He says, there are some people who are envious of me. And we see themselves as competitors in preaching the word of God. And what happens when people become envious of someone else? They will do whatever it takes to tear them down. They point at all the negative things that they can, thinking by pulling them down, they can pull themselves upward. The latter group was using the gospel to further their own selfish purposes. Paul's aim was to glorify Christ and get people to follow him. And his critics' aim was to promote themselves and win a following of their own. Instead of asking, have you trusted in Jesus Christ? They asked, whose side are you on, ours or Paul's? Like a faithful soldier, Paul, he was set apart. He was appointed for the defense of the gospel, like it says in verse 17. And all that mattered to Paul was that the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you think of criticism, it is usually difficult to take. Especially when you're in a difficult circumstance, like the Apostle Paul was. And it makes you wonder how he, as an apostle, was able to rejoice and face such diverse criticism. Verse 19, Paul expected his case to turn out victoriously when he says, to my salvation. Because of the prayers of his friends and power of the Holy Spirit being upon him. Paul had totally depended on God. And he depended upon the Holy Spirit as he ministered. Paul, he shared the gospel in Rome through his chains, his critics. But he also had a third tool that he used, and that was the crisis. Paul's crisis. So because of Paul's chains, Christ was known. Because of Paul's critics, Christ was preached. And because of Paul's crisis, Christ was magnified. So as you go through life as true followers of Jesus Christ, being obedient and living our lives for Him despite the crisis that we go through, I ask, how is Christ magnified, like it says in verse 20? Just think of the stars. They're much bigger than a telescope. And yet the telescope, it magnifies them and brings them closer. We as believers are to be like that telescope that bring people closer to Jesus Christ. And the telescope brings things closer, and when you look through a microscope, it makes tiny things look big. To an unbeliever, Jesus isn't very big, because other people or other things are far more important. But as the unbeliever watches as Christians go through a crisis, are they able to see how big Jesus really is? We as believers should be like a lens. We should be like a lens that makes Jesus look big and a distant Christ come very close to an unbeliever. And even though Paul was going through a crisis or a disaster or a catastrophe, and I'm sure it wasn't a very clear picture ahead of him, but Paul was focused on the hope that he had in Jesus Christ. He wasn't relying on himself to exalt Jesus, but he looked to the Holy Spirit to magnify Christ in him. So for Paul, he could hardly wait to just continue with his ministry. Paul, he says that everything that happened to me in prison only serves to make Christ known. Regardless of whether I live or die. And we know that Paul was not afraid of life or death. And to remain alive was necessary for the believer's benefit. But to depart and be with Christ was far better. But we see that Jesus Christ continued to work through Paul and have him remain, not only for the furtherance of the gospel, but also for the furtherance of the joy of their faith. Paul wanted them to share the Word of God in new areas for spiritual growth. And even when you think of the life of Paul, I'm sure he would have wanted to go to heaven. But what a heart to continue on to help believers grow. And be willing to be a curse from Christ in order to win the lost to him, like it says in Romans 9. And Paul, he wasn't satisfied that the Christians in Philippi should only be saved, but that they should continue to advance to maturity in Jesus Christ. He felt the responsibility, a calling to continue to teach them. Now, there may be some of you, or maybe all of you, that are dealing with some kind of chains, or critics in your life, or maybe a crisis. And I ask you, are we like Paul? To continue despite circumstances that come our way? What are the chains in your life? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the Apostle Paul. Despite all the circumstances that he went through, Lord, his focus was on you. To serve you no matter what. And Father, we pray for each one here this morning. Lord, you know each heart. Father, you know the difficulties that they may be going through, Lord, but we just pray that their focus would be on you. Father, we pray that you would help them not to forget you. Lord, we pray that you would remind each one of us that it is only you that can help us. That you can give us the joy and the victory. Father, we thank you that you come alongside. And as we go through difficulties, as it may feel that we are chained, Lord, you still see us through. May we never take our eyes off of you. Father, we thank you for the encouragement that we see in the Apostle Paul. Despite all things, Lord, his focus was on you. May we never forget that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, yielded allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne, my life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace, such love constrains me to answer his call, follow his leading and give him my all. Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne, my life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Living for Jesus, herself to thee. For thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of his smile. Seeking the lost ones he died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in him. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee. For thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone.
This morning I want to encourage you to continue to focus on Christ and remain devoted to him in the word and deed despite any circumstances that may come your way. May you be encouraged this morning through the word of God. Let us bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may depart in the peace of the Lord.